Welcome to Scaling the Gap, the podcast for leaders who refuse to settle. I'm Madeline McRae, CEO and co-founder of ProQ. Here, we cut through the noise to tackle the real challenges of scaling your business while staying true to your purpose. Every episode brings candid conversations, proven strategies, and the kind of insights that don't just inform, they ignite action. If you're ready to stop talking about impact and start making it, you're in the right place. Let's get started. Well, hello, everybody. It's Madeline McRae back with you for another episode. I am so excited to bring this guest to you today. Todd Green is the president of Premier Blinds and Shades and the host of the Premier podcast. I love it when I get to host with another host. So our conversation is going to be fire. Todd has dedicated the last 12 years of his career to helping window covering dealers navigate the challenges of running and growing their businesses with a passion for leadership, entrepreneurship, and industry innovation. He hopes to help dealers not just survive, but thrive in this industry. Todd, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Madeline. It's a pleasure. It's an honor to be on your podcast, and hopefully you'll give me the honor of interviewing you on a future date.
Oh, absolutely. I love to swap a podcast, so stay tuned for that, y'all. This is great. So Todd and I had the most interesting conversation in the green room. And for those of you who have never been on a podcast before and are thinking about, maybe, do I want to be on a podcast? Go for it. It's so fun to connect with other bold, bright, ambitious leaders and to get the chance to talk. And what's said on air is awesome, but what's said in the green room, if you've built a business, if you have a multi-million dollar business and you want to get on the show, reach out because it is phenomenal. So Todd and I had a chance to chat a little bit about some of the things that he's boldly passionate about. And one of the things that we chatted about, which I want to just start there and then we'll get into your story of how you got there, is being so passionate about the psychology and the mindset and deeply considering thoughts and ideas and how that's really shaped your business trajectory. So why don't you share a little bit about the fountainhead of that passion and how that shows up for you in the business you've built today?
I'll answer that question specifically as it relates to the window covering industry and sales, because sure. You didn't mention this, but we've known each other for a little while.
Yes, quite a while.
Yeah. Yep. And so I got started in the window covering industry on the retail side, as you mentioned. A friend of mine had a little mom and pop window covering company working out of his house, just had reached a point where he was overwhelmed and needed help. And so I was in sales, we were friends, and he just like, would you consider coming and helping me sell blinds? And so I did that, and kind of quite unintentionally, we ended up scaling this business. I was never part of the conversation. It was never, hey, let's go come work with me and let's just build this big, huge window covering company. That was not part of the equation. But both of us are very competitive people and we both kind of just push each other. And so we just, if we're going to do something, we want to be the best. And so once we kind of dominated the market we were in, we were like, okay, where are we going next? You know?
Sure.
And what's laughable, this is so laughable. We started scaling a window covering company with no website, no logo, no CRM, no documentation, no documented systems or processes, right? How idiotic were we to scale a business? You know, right? We should have been your first client because we had no clue what we were doing. And I'd like to talk about that maybe in a minute, but to someone out there that maybe has a action step in front of them that they're afraid to take, just take it.
Yeah.
Don't figure it out. Scaling a business is a lot like doing a puzzle without the finished picture in front of you. Mm-hmm. Just start putting the pieces together. And the more pieces that you put together, the more clear the picture becomes, but you have to act. I forget who said this, but you don't have to be great to start, but you do have to start in order to be great.
Yeah.
So thankfully, due to a high level of ignorance, we started in spite of everything we didn't know. And if were I a fly on the wall in the early days when we were talking about scaling the business, if I could go back and hear those conversations today, I'm sure I would have a good laugh at that. But we started scaling the business and growing it. And I'm smart enough to know what I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I had been in sales. I was a go-getter, like hard driver. Like the best way to get me to do something is tell me it can't be done. I'm going to do it. Yeah. I'm going to run through that brick wall. And that's just how I'm wired. But I'd never scaled a business. You know, as we started growing, I've never recruited and hired.
Sure.
I've never managed people. I've never run a sales team before.
Sure.
So I just started looking for wisdom anywhere I could find it. I mean, I'm reading books, I'm listening to podcasts, and that's when I found out about you. And I think we were buying at that time from a vendor, and they had brought you to the trip, and you got up on stage and they introduced you.
Yep.
And I think I got on your mailing list.
Yeah. And oh, yeah.
You sent out an email and you were like, hey, and I was waiting for there to be some string attached, and there wasn't, but I was able to jump on those calls, and you gave just a lot of good little nuggets. And so a lot of those got incorporated into our sales system, our sales process, our sales philosophy. But one of them was, I remember you talking about objections are the pathway to a sale. You know, you talked about stepping stones to the sale, all these things. And I think in pictures, so I immediately some of those content. And I would, every time I would train a new salesperson, I was drawing pictures on the whiteboard. You know, I'm drawing a raging river and your customer's here and we're trying to get them here. And every part of our sales process, we're laying those stones and we got to lay them close together so that they feel comfortable and confident to take that step.
Yeah.
So it's just stuff like that. So, you know, that was a tremendous amount of value. You never charged us a dime. That was very helpful in building kind of that sales system and that sales philosophy. And I learned a lot from that, that I carry with me, you know, even today. So
I love that. Well, thank you for that. I've always felt that the universe cannot be outdone in generosity. And if I give generously, if I pour out my best, I don't hold back my best and only give it to the paying clients, right? What clients get that you don't get when you just, you know, tune into all the freebies is the whole system, right? You talked about this philosophy of building a business is like having a puzzle without the picture. Mm-hmm. What you get when you invest in working with us is we give you the picture.
Right.
So you don't have to build blind. Building blind is terrifying because you don't know if that next piece you put in is going to be the right piece or the wrong piece, or it's going to lead you into a really ugly looking picture, because you could do that, right? You guys had fantastic grit. You really took all the nuggets and you implemented them into your systems. You implemented them into what you were building, and you were able to build something really, really cool pretty fast too, right? Like it was pretty fast. That's the benefit of, you know, tuning into wisdom like these podcasts and all sorts of different things, is that you can make it work yourself. But you have two bold, bright, ambitious people doing it together is a lot more likely to succeed than a solopreneur on your own trying to make that happen for yourself. So it's a pretty dynamic picture. So I really love this idea of you don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. And that's a fantastic quote. I'm going to do my homework and find out who said that. I've heard it before and I love it, because there's a alternative to that, or another way of saying it is that you can't course correct when you're in park, right? If your car is in park, there's no way you can adjust how you're growing, how you're doing it. You've got to just take that bold next step, that bold next step, that bold next step. And you're never going to be able to know for certain that it will absolutely work, because certainty and confidence come second. The thing that comes first is always courage.
Yeah.
Courage always comes first. You just have to be bold enough to say, let's do it, let's try it, let's go. And that comes with anything, right? With taking a new vendor, right? This is the new role you're working on now that you're out of retail, you're on the B2B side. And also investing in a coach or consultant or a strategist or someone who's going to help you build your business, there's very rarely a guarantee. When you work with us, there is a little bit of a guarantee. So that's different. But it's, you have to believe and you have to be willing to take that bold action, right? And usually put your money where your mouth is.
100%. Right? Yeah, that was one of our actually core values, you know, with the retail business. One of our core values was a bias for action. And it was something that we, and we were a bigger organization, you know.
Sure.
I'm not sure the size of the companies of a lot of your listeners, but if you know, if you've only got one or two people, it's a little different. But when you have an organization with 100 people, you know, it's very important that you know who you are and you know how you function and operate. And so having a bias for action, so part of our culture was very much about delegation and empowerment. And I would tell my team members all the time, I'm like, look, if you take action, you see a need and you take action and you fail, I'm not going to jump your case.
Sure.
We'll jump on a call and we'll learn from it.
Yeah.
But I'll be glad that you took action. You didn't just sit back with your hands folded and say, well, it's not my responsibility, or, you know, or out of fear. But if you see a need and you see something that should be done and you do nothing, that's when I'm not going to tolerate that.
Right.
It's mediocrity,
right?
And that's inaction. And we're going to have a bias for action. So anytime you see a need, you take action. Whether it succeeds or fails, you're not going to be in trouble. You're going to be praised for actually taking action.
Yeah, I love it. I call that directionally correct, right? You might be off course, but at least you moved in the right direction. It might have been the wrong move, but you moved in the right direction, right? It moved us forward because we can learn from our failures and we can learn what not to do the next time, right? That's really beautiful. I love that. We kind of jumped into the middle of all the cool stuff. So why don't you share a little bit? Let's back up a little bit. Share a little bit with our listeners, a little bit about who you are and what you do in this world today. I mentioned it a little bit in your bio, but why don't you give us a little bit more texture about that? And then we'll go into a little bit more of our conversation here.
Yeah, yeah. So I can't talk about who I am without talking about my family.
Yeah.
Because that's a big, big part of who I am. So I've been married for almost 29 years now to my beautiful wife.
Okay.
Honestly, I can say without hesitation that I would not be where I am today in my career without her. She's been the support when I needed it, the crying shoulder when I needed it, and sometimes the kick in the butt when I needed it.
Yep.
So I 100%, I mean, that's not just a cliche, like I 100% would not be where I am today without her. And then I'm a father of three children and a grandfather. So my—
Well, congrats.
Thank you. Our oldest daughter is married and has two boys. And so I have two grandsons. And so love my family and very thankful for my family. But yeah, I've been in sales for a very long time. I had been in sales for about 25 years in the construction industry, in the commercial construction industry specifically. And a friend of mine owned a window covering company and just had reached a point where he was going to have to start turning business away. He was working 80 hours a week and had open heart surgery from all the stress. And the funny thing is, he did not want to grow. He did not want to have people. He didn't want to manage people. He just wanted to stay small. He was content to stay small. But he couldn't turn business away. And part of the story was that, you know, we had talked in the green room about the parable of the talents. That also weighed on him as well. He felt like, you know, God had kind of given him some wisdom on how to run a window covering company, and it would be a mistake for him to just keep that to himself. And he wanted to share it. And so he called me up one day and just basically said, "Hey, I need some help. What do you think about quitting your job?"
Taking a gamble.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So with the wife and three kids, it was a bit risky, but I took the risk. And again, like I said, we were working out of his basement, no talks about scaling. And then just organically, you know, we started scaling the business, and then COVID hits, right? And so the opportunity went through the roof. I think we grew by 76% that year.
Wow.
I absolutely do not recommend.
It's hard. Yeah.
It's one of those things where I wouldn't trade it for anything, but I also wouldn't repeat it. But learned a lot that year. I can tell you one thing, if you want to reveal where all your flaws are, grow by 76%.
Yes.
They will come to the surface very quickly.
Yep.
And that it did. It revealed where we had a lot of work to do. But yeah, so we scaled the business. And it was honestly during my time in the retail business where and I won't get into any specifics or anything, but I just saw the way the industry was going. I saw the trend with the large manufacturers, and they're buying up retail businesses and competing for market space now. And that's really where the idea for Premier was born. Just seeing that trend.
Yep.
And I'm the type of person that I don't really like complaining about things. I like taking action, and complaining solves nothing. And so there was a lot of complaining, but there was a lot of action as well, and a lot of like trying to figure it out. And it started with an idea, or it started with the recognition for a need. That's the mother of invention, right? I think.
So
we invented Premier, if you will, from that, just seeing a need, and there was a hole in the marketplace. And we wanted to fill that hole. And so it took a while. It wasn't overnight, but just the more I chewed on it, the more I processed it and tried to unpack this idea, that's where we came up with the concept of Premier. And, you know, to your point, I think there's several things that we bring to the table that can really set us apart. But I think one of the biggest things is just the fact that I've been there, right? I've run that retail business. I've dealt with the frustrations. I've dealt with the pain points. I've also scaled a business.
Yep.
And I think that's worth something. And I think that a dealer, they can jump on a call with me and say, "Hey, we're getting ready to take this step. Walk us through what you did.
Yep.
You know, what should we look out for?"
Yep.
And that's cutting a corner.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's something that maybe took me 2 or 3 years to learn, and a lot of pain and a lot of lost revenue. And you can learn that in one phone call.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. So I think that's the benefit of working with someone like us. And I think, you know, taking advantage of what you offer as well, it's a shortcut and a fast track to bypass some of that pain.
Yep.
So we started Premier a couple years ago. We've been very slow and methodical in how we grow the business. Again, trying not to repeat that 76%.
Yep.
Might have a little PTSD from that that's holding me back. But we've just been trying to grow it methodical, and we're not trying to be all things to all people. But for that dealer that is just looking for a smaller vendor that really cares, that takes care of their dealers, that has a low mistake rate, offers a quality product at a super competitive price. We generate leads for our dealers as well. So we can, I know a lot of people hear all this and they're like, it sounds too good to be true. It's not, yep. I promise you, talk to some of our dealers and they'll tell you about their experience. But yeah, just trying to fill a niche in the marketplace that I feel like is needed. I've been doing this for a couple of years now.
Yep, that's beautiful. I love it. So just in case you guys missed it, I want to say it again. So Premier offers window treatments and a variety of different products, direct B2B, and serve dealers, and also provides leads for their dealers and provides that one-on-one support, low mistake, great quality product. So Todd has ventured from the world of retail into the world of wholesale, B2B, and it's a pretty brave leap to make. And I'm really excited to watch where the business continues to grow and what happens inside of those dealers who really do want that little bit more of a closer, tight-knit sort of relationship versus a bigger relationship. It's a different dynamic. We support a lot of different vendors, and there are beautiful parts to all different vendors. And there's always a vendor for every dealer, right? There's always going to be someone that's going to suit you the most. So really have to think about what you're looking for, what you want. And if you want to give Premier a shout, give him a shout. See what there's going on over there.
It's free to talk, right?
That's right. It's free to talk. Unless you're paying a consultant, then it's not free to talk.
That's true. Touche.
Just teasing on that one. One of the things that you said about being able to pick up the phone and phone a friend, ask a question. I love that idea. And we actually have a fun way of saying it. We call it going decades and days, right? So we start all of our clients with this super intensive two-day deep dive. And it is really, truly the fruit of decades and decades of learning and work and best practices and insights that we jam pack into a two-day intensive, right? And you go decades and days, right? Now to unpack and to utilize and to implement it in the business, of course, takes time, but really the value of being able to stand on the shoulders of giants is one of the things that I love the most about being in this century, in this moment. There are so many big, beautiful thinkers and brilliant business minds and incredible systems and incredible business philosophies that have been tested and tried and true and have been now shared, right? You talked about being voracious for knowledge, right? Those podcasts and books and courses and conferences, oh my, right? You can do so many things to amass the knowledge of other people so that you do not have to reinvent the wheel. You can upgrade what exists. Right. And there is, though, a point at which you can get into a just knowledge for the sake of knowledge where that prohibits action. Right. You talked about having this incredible bias for action. Can't get anywhere unless you start to push the gas pedal. Right. So you do have to make a decision, make a commitment, make a decision, and take the congruent next best step. Always, 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 and everywhere. Right. So I love this journey. From retail to wholesale, it's a very cool journey, very rare step to take. So it's a really fun to watch from the sidelines. Todd was saying that we've known each other for a long time. He's been flying the wall in many of my sessions. And also, I would say that you've always said yes when there's been an offer.
Yes.
I've get offered for my time. I've offered for my talent. I've given free webinars. He always says yes. And that is one of the things that it is not hard to say yes when someone asks or offers you their greatest gifts. Say yes, right? It's one of the things that one of the mistakes that people make is not saying yes when the opportunity shows up, because it's easy to miss an opportunity because it looks like just another thing to do. But if there's a thought leader that you admire, if there's someone that you've heard on a podcast, you're like, yes to that person, follow them. And when they offer their wisdom for free, say yes and show up and put it
100%. And I think you just can always learn. And something that I've tried to do, and I tell myself this all the time, is stay curious.
Yeah.
Like, be curious. And we were talking in the green room a little bit about our social struggles and social settings sometimes. And it's a mistake when I do this, but sometimes I'll just be like zoning out, this droning on and on. And that's such a big mistake, right? Because if I would stay curious, like I could ask a really good question and then a couple of follow-up questions and really start to learn something from this person. And as you know, and as I've experienced, you know, some of the wisest people that I've ever met were very curious and talked very little and asked a lot of questions. And so I think it's kind of like that. If someone's offering to share some insight or wisdom, and especially if it's free, you better believe I'm taking advantage of that 100%. So, but I think you hit the nail on the head. And well, number one, you know, one of my favorite quotes is, you know, wise people learn from their mistakes, but the wisest people learn from the mistakes of others. Mm. And so I love that quote, but I think, you know, you are right. We've never had more information at our availability than we do today, but it all is 100% worthless if we don't put it into application. And so take a little bit of information, then go act on it. And don't take in any more information until you've acted on the information that you have.
Yep.
Here's how I use the information though. I use it as inspiration.
Mm.
When I was, you know, and I'm still leading a team of people, it's a much smaller team now. But at one time I had up to 20 salespeople on my team. Mm-hmm. I'm leading a pretty large team and I'm good at motivation, not always good at inspiration. But I heard someone talk, they said the best form of leadership is inspiration, not motivation. We mistake. We think we've got to be these great motivators and like give these big rah-rah speeches and stuff, or, you know, light a fire under people. But it's like, what really moves people to action is inspiration. When people are inspired, that's what really moves people to act. And then I just had this realization that if I'm not inspired, then I can't inspire anyone else. And so reading books and listening to podcasts became a form of inspiration for me to inspire me to light a fire in me that would then pour over onto my
team. Yes. Yes. That is a really profound statement. I took some massive notes. For those of you at home, that was fire. Inspiration moves more than motivation. Motivation, that rah-rah speech, is something totally different than inspiration, because inspiration is the passage of the fire, and you cannot pass a flame you do not possess yourself.
100%.
And that's where you went out to find that inspiration, so your fire always stayed lit so you can then pass it. One of the things that I say all the time is influence is more powerful than power. And influence is a sister of inspiration, right? When someone is inspiring, they're going to influence your behaviors because they have something exciting, something that is drawing you in. It's not necessarily motivating you to act, but it's making a movement in your inner self, right? And where the eyes of the mind are looking, that's where the feet end up walking.
100%.
Yeah, ponder that. I love this.
Yeah, because I always say that your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you are focusing on, my dad used to always say, your focus determines your direction. And that's another way of saying it. But I think whatever is dominating your thought life, whatever you're giving your mind to the most is going to determine the direction of your life. So if you don't like the direction of your life, guess how you fix it? Fix your mind. Fix what you're putting in your mind and what you're focusing on. And sometimes you need to stop listening to yourself and you need to start talking to yourself.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And there's also the component part. So your words are the tip of the iceberg of your thoughts. So what are you talking about? What are you filling your conversations with? What are you dwelling on? Is it serving you? Is it helping you? Is it allowing you to grow forward, or is it stifling you? Yeah. Right? How are you doing that? Well, this is fantastic. And I for sure am going to be pondering some of those little nuggets that we chatted through, specifically the difference between motivation and inspiration, because especially as a speaker, as a public figure, as a thought leader, I aspire to be more and more and more of that, right? I aspire to speak on the big 40,000 person stages, and that's where my life is moving. And I'm going to ponder this very deeply. Thank you for that today. It was really beautiful.
You're welcome.
And I'm very curious, now that we've had a chat about some of these incredible ups and downs, right? You talked about how, you know, not building without knowing what you're building is, building without knowing what you're doing is a harrowing experience. So we didn't chat too much specifics about the downs, but we caught the flavor. We felt you skin your knee. You mentioned the PTSD from going a little too far too fast, right? Uncontrolled growth is sometimes worse than no growth at all. So it's a pretty harrowing experience. I've been there myself. So with all of that in mind, there's one question that I want to wrap up our episode with today. You know what it is. And those of you listening at home, if you've tuned in before, you know what it is too. And I know that Todd's been thinking about this. He's been pondering it. He's a ponderer. So with all of the ups and downs, with everything that you've built, with all that you've achieved, with this amazing new transition that you've made from retail to wholesale, do you consider yourself to be successful?
Yeah. And as we talked about, I've probably thought about this way deeper than I should have. I kind of have a twofold answer. One is the reason I struggle with this question is because it sounds as if success is a destination and I've already reached it. And I don't think that success is a destination. I think that success evolves because if I am still doing today what I was doing 10 years ago, I think I was successful 10 years ago. But if I'm still doing today what I was doing 10 years ago, then I would not be successful. So success evolves, right? I'm aging, I'm getting older, my life is evolving, who I am as a person is evolving. And so my definition of success must also evolve with that. Maybe growth is a better way to say it. By definition, for success needs to grow with me. I guess that's where I struggle to answer the question because it's hard for me to say, yes, I'm successful because I haven't arrived. And I almost feel like it's not for me to say. I feel like that's for the, when I'm lying at my funeral in the casket one day, that's for those that are left behind to determine. But I will say yes, and here's why. And I think a lot of people would hear the career success that I've experienced in building and scaling a business, and they would say, yeah, that's success. Look at all that you've accomplished. But it would take me 10 times longer to talk about all the failures along the way. I have failed astronomically more than I've quote unquote succeeded. But here's why I'm successful. And this is actually a Dave Ramsey quote. And I love this quote. He said, success is not a shiny, gleaming mountain. It's a pile of mistakes that you're standing on top of instead of buried underneath.
Mm.
And I love that quote. It resonates so much with me. And that is to a T describes the last 12 years of my journey in the window covering industry, specifically the 10 years on the retail side, is made more mistakes than I can count, but I came out on top in spite of those mistakes. And so that's why I'm successful, is because no matter how many times I fail, I'm going to get back up and I'm going to persevere.
Okay. I'm thinking, for those of you who listen to the show, you know that I like to backwards engineer a little algorithm, personal success algorithm, for each one of my guests. And Todd has given me a run for my money here for a second. So my brain is pondering how to put these pieces together. I think there's also a component part that was not discussed in your definition of success that I'm going to weave in for you because of what we talked about before. So let me, one more second here. I'm going to think about something about mistakes. I don't know. I'll come up with the words when I say
successful because I just stumped you.
Yeah, not stumped yet. Not yet, my friend.
Okay,
not
you're
yet.
Not quitting. You're
don't
not
speak either. Too soon here. I'm not. I am not a flag of defeat kind of lady.
I know
that early on
I
in the process. So let's at least give my algorithm a shot here. Okay, let's see. So for Todd specifically, it's a very particular flavor on success. So I'm going to say what I've heard you say, and then you tell me if we need to refine it. Success equals the ability to follow the evolution of your own capacity, continuous pursuit of growth, capacity to leave a legacy, tenacity and persistence, being surrounded by supportive partners in life and in business, and always being victorious over your mistakes.
That's good. You threw in the partner part.
At the partner.
From the green room.
And also when you spoke so warmly about the support of your wife and what her role in your life has enabled you to do and has meant for you, not all of my guests, when I say, tell me a little about who you are and what you do in this world, start with, hey, I wouldn't be the person I am today if not for my partner, right? Yeah, sure. And it's not just your partner in life, you know, with your wife and in your family, but also your partner in business that you also referenced many times that someone brought you in, right? So the ability to be surrounded by supportive partners, where it's really an additive relationship. It's not a one-way relationship, right? You're pouring into each other. And I think that that really needs to be part of your success algorithm because you spoke so strongly about it.
Yeah, it's 100% a part of that. Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. Can come back to it another time. Jot down those notes. It'll be in our show notes as well. So Todd, for those people who might want to check out a little bit more about Premier, learn a little bit more about what you do and what was available to them, where can they find you?
If they just go to our website, premierblindsshades.com, everything you want to access to our social media is there. You can go to YouTube from there and see our podcasts. You can, if you're interested in just having a conversation, you can go to the Contact Us tab and you can schedule a discovery call and we'll jump on a call and see how we can be a partner for you.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey with us today. Thank you so much for laying out this, you know, the joy and also the strain and the failures and the figuring out along the way, the willingness to lean in for support, the willingness to say yes, the willingness to really get started and take that action, even if it's an imperfect action, making sure that that action is continuous, having that bias towards it, having the motivation, but even more than motivation, wishing to be an inspiration so that people will take those actions. So thank you so much for all of that. And for those of you listening from home, be inspired to serve as the inspiration for your team versus just being the motivation. All right, my friends, I will catch you on the next episode. Bye for now.
Thanks for tuning in to Scaling the Gap. If today's episode inspired you or sparked an idea, I'd love to hear about it. If you're an ambitious leader with a story to share, visit proqsystems.com, click on Media and Events, then select Podcast to apply to be our guest. We'd love to spotlight your journey. Also, don't forget to follow the show and leave us a review to help bring more transformative insights to leaders just like you. You can also connect with me, Madeline McRae, on LinkedIn for more conversations, access to our exclusive tools and resources. Until next time, keep scaling your impact and building a legacy that matters.